today. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 18. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. And Philippians chapter 2, can I just say before we get to verse 19, I don't know anybody that has a favorite verse in Philippians chapter 2. Nobody. I've never seen anybody sign a Bible that has Philippians chapter 2 because it's hard living. I mean, it is. This whole chapter is convicting. If you don't think it's convicting, then get my message Wednesday night about not murmuring and disputing. Lord, have mercy. I wanted to get up this morning and get in my car, and I saw the rain coming, and I wanted to complain right away. And then I thought, you know what? I ain't complaining because I just preached on it Wednesday night, and we need the rain. And so, you know, God hates complaining. So I don't. That ain't my message, but it could be. Amen? Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus, notice these words, to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that's Timothy, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Well, that's convicting. Now notice verse 22. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And he's talking about Timothy. Timothy was Paul's son in the Lord. I mean, they were close, like a father and a son. Timothy was the son that Paul never had, if you will, in the ministry, in the gospel. And look, verse 23. Him, therefore, I hope, here's that phrase again, to send presently soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Here, just a little backdrop. Paul is facing a trial right now. A trial, literally, that he's going in a court, and he's awaiting his sentence, and he's writing to this church saying, hey, I'm about to come to you, but I've been delayed a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and send a couple young men, one sooner and one later. But these two men that I'm about to send to you are the two choice men that I would send to anybody. These are two choice servants that I want to send to you. Now, verse 24. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So there he is. I'm going to come when I'm done with this trial. Verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send. There it is again. Third time he says to send. To you, Epaphroditus. Now, I did not do very well in grammar. All right? That is a name of names right there. Amen? Epaphroditus. That sounds like a disease. I actually, if you came in here today and said, preacher, I pray for me. I'm feeling bad. What do you got? Epaphroditus. I'd say, get away from me. I tell you, last Sunday I had Epaphroditus. I was about to die. You can call it whatever you want to. But historians say, amen. Some of you need to laugh. Your face needed, and muscles need to be exercised. You can't laugh in church, and I don't know what's wrong with you. Amen. There's plenty of churches around here that don't believe you ought to. You can go have your choice. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Now this is what Paul says. This guy, I like to call Timothy Timbo and Epaphroditus. Now I don't know. I can't think of another name short for that. That is just messing with me a little bit. Amen. My brother and companion in labor. And notice what he says about this guy. Epo. I ain't going to call him Epo. That'd be disrespectful. Amen. My brother and companion in the Lord, in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all that was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now, Epaphroditus had been sick, and he probably had Epaphroditus. Amen. He might have been sick. I don't know. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. Notice that. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul was saying, hey, it would have not just hurt him, but it would have hurt me, because I love this guy, and God had mercy on us both. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the time You've given us in church. I pray for these next few minutes that, God, You will help us to be choice servants of the Lord. God, if You were picking today, and I know You still are calling, but God, if You had to pick servants today that You would love to send somewhere, Lord, I pray that in my heart would be right, that I would be willing to go. God, only 10 months ago, Lord, that we moved our family down here. God, I didn't, and I've got to be honest, Lord, and You know my heart, but I didn't want to come at that time. But God, You sent us here for a reason. God, I pray that, Lord, that if You are still calling today, and we know You are, and was willing to send us somewhere, that, God, we'd be willing to go. Lord, I pray that these two men will stir our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was reading these passages of Scripture, and I'll say what C.J. Mahaney said about these passages of Scripture. He said, not too many people today are willing to have a favorite verse out of Philippians chapter 2. Because if you read from verse 1 all the way to verse 17, you'll see that these verses are indeed very convicting. Very convicting. I don't have time to really talk about all of them, but it talks about how Christ was willing and obedient to death, and he thought it necessary to make Himself of no reputation. And in verses number 8, He was found in fashion as a man, but He humbled Himself. I mean, these verses, if you read them and put them to heart, you'll understand that they're not verses that we would enjoy exercising, if you will, because they're very convicting verses. But it's almost like Paul, in the middle of this chapter, changes gears right in verse number 18. He is preaching a message about how we shouldn't murmur and dispute, how we ought to be blameless in verse 15, how we ought to be and harmless, and we ought to try to shine as lights in the world. And he's just exercising eloquent. I'm talking about preaching a wonderful message. But then right in the middle of his message, he says, now I'm going to give you the travel itinerary for Timothy and Epaphroditus. Right in the middle of the message. Now you say, preacher, what would be the importance of Paul stopping what he's doing, if you will, and he's telling this church that these two men he's going to send? I believe Paul had a reason for it. I believe Paul was using these two men to set an example for the others at Philippi that they should try to be like these two men, these two choice servants of God. I want to give you what I believe set apart Timothy and Epaphroditus. You say, preacher, what is so special about Timothy and Epaphroditus? Well, I want you to notice, number one, they were ready to go anywhere. They were ready to go anywhere. Look at verse 19. But I trust the Lord, in the Lord, to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Verse 23, he said to send. In verse number 23, he says it again. Him, therefore, I hope to send. In verse number 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send. These two gentlemen were willing to go anywhere. They were willing at any cost to say, Lord, here am I, send me. You know what? We a lot of times as Christians think that any surrender to God, that we are automatically... when I was growing up, I used to hear preachers preach about full surrender. Y'all have heard it. Full surrender to God. I used to think full surrender to God. If I fully surrender to God, that I would have to surrender and God would automatically send me to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, and I would be a missionary to the tribes over there, and listen, they would be chasing me all over the jungle, trying to eat me, and I would be living on stuff that I never dreamed of. Honestly, I was thinking, Lord, if I fully, as bad a kid as I was to my mom and dad, amen, that You're going to send me to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, or to the Papua New Guinea, or Madagascar, or different places, and You're going to send me to some places down. And I thought, man, Lord, if I fully surrender, boy, I really did. I fought it. I hesitated. I remember 17 years old at a youth meeting in Hammond, Indiana. I remember at 17 years old, a man got up to preach, and he preached a message on being fully surrendered. Fully surrendered. And he preached that message, that it was a day service, and he preached that message on why there was no man, why there was no man, why there is no man to stand in the gap for God, between God and man. And we need men to stand. And I remember him preaching that message, and I stood in the invitation as I would fully surrender my life. You know what? A lot of people think that when we fully surrender, it's like taking a $1,000 bill and slapping it on the table and saying, "Here, God, here it is. I'm giving everything I've got. There you go, right there." And this big flash of a decision, and this big, huge all or anything decision. But I don't believe that's what God wants in our decision process. I believe that fully surrendered is taking that $1,000 bill and going to the bank and cashing it into quarters and going your life, the rest of your life, 25 cent here, 50 cent there, listening to the neighbor's kids as they spill their heart out to you instead of telling them to get lost, going over here and giving this man a few dollars to feed him because he's hungry, going over here and trying to help this family, and stopping on the side of the road and you see somebody in distress and somebody and stopping and trying to help them, and going over here and help. I believe that's what God means, not some big flash decision, so to speak, but one that you say, you know what, I'm just going to take my life and I'm going to surrender it to God, but I'm going to use, you know, it's harder for some to live for God than it is to die for God. People have a hard time living for God. You know, these two men were ready to go anywhere. Can I ask you a question this morning, church? Are you ready to go anywhere? Anywhere. You say, well, preacher, the Lord's never spoke to me about going. Hey, we're commanded in the Scripture to be a witness. I mean, are you witnessing for God? Are you living for God? Are you shining for God? Are you willing to go anywhere for God? Anywhere. See, God, listen, this area, Simpsonville and Greenville and Greer and Fountain Inn and Malden and all this area is a mission field. God may not send you across the water, but God will send you across town. Are you willing to go anywhere? Are you fully surrendered? Here we see two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, that was willing to go anywhere. Hey, you know, what kind of people are we if we pick and choose what we're going to do for God? I mean, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, if you can turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 1. This is the same Timothy that Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, there he is, Paul calling Timothy his son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, notice this verse, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier's willing to go anywhere. You know, when a man signs up for the military, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, the Army, when he signs up, he has no say-so in where they send him. You belong to the government. When you sign up as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you belong to Him. He picks and chooses where you go. See, when I signed up years ago as a 17-year-old young man, my daddy was a preacher and still a preacher today, but that didn't guarantee nothing for me. Matter of fact, there's a lot of guys walking around today with mama called religion and daddy called religion. They've never been called of God. And that's why when the going gets tough and the enemy starts shooting, they run back to mama. But when you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, He says endure hardness as a good soldier. You know what? It's going to get hard out there. I may send you to a place, it's going to be tough. I may send you to a place, hey, whether it be Simpsonville or South Sudan, you need to be ready to go. You need to be ready to go. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Look at verse 4. Look not on every man his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm back in Philippians chapter 2. What am I doing? Man, but hey, it's good verses. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm in the twos, but I'm in the wrong book. Amen? Look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So guess who? God chooses the soldiers. Amen? And God chose Paul, God chose Timothy, and God chose Epaphroditus. And by the way, God chose me. Has God chose you? You know, God's still choosing today. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must not be a partaker of fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto the bonds that the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Look down in verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, these are some good verses for one that has been chosen by God for His work. Timothy was that man. Hey, you know, I don't know about you, but when's the last time you heard of a man surrendering to preach in a church? There is no doubt in my mind that all over America this morning there are men sitting in the pews of churches that are resisting the call of God to preach. And God's sitting there saying, hey, I need you to preach. I need you to preach. And you know what they're doing? They're fighting God. He's choosing them. They're running from the call. That ain't Timothy. There's men that's sitting in here this morning. I guarantee there's men that's sitting in here this morning that God, at some point in your life, chose you to preach and you resisted the call and you're running from God. And let me tell you, that void will never be filled no matter how much money you make, no matter what you do with your life. The only void that can fill that is Jesus. When you surrender. Hey, when I signed up for this thing, I knew I'd never be rich. I'd be rich in the Lord. Man, I've got a good wife. I've got everything that I ever need. But I knew I wouldn't have some big old bank account. I knew that I wouldn't be driving these big fancy cars. Hey, but I'll tell you this. I've got Jesus, and that's all that I need. And I've got the call of God on my life. And I don't want to ever lose that. Why? Hey, listen. There is if you are fighting that today, you need to give in. I know a man right now. I know him very well. That God called him to preach as a teenager. God called him to preach as a teenager, and he answered the call. He said, I'm surrendering to preach. But he never did it. When he got older, he started making money. He's made lots of money. Lots of money. But he's never been happy. Today, he's one of the most miserable human beings I've ever met in my life. We're still friends. Miserable. And the reason that he's miserable is because he's not doing what God called him to do. I challenge you this morning. Hey, if God's calling you to do it, answer the call. Hey, it ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be a bunch of roses. It's not always going to have your path paved clear, but God will provide for you, and you'll be the happiest person around. The happiest man in the building is the one that's in the middle of God's will. And woman, do God's will. Ready to go anywhere. Timothy was ready to go anywhere. Epaphroditus was ready to go anywhere. Number two, ready to help anyone. Ready to help anyone. Not only were they ready to go anywhere, but they were ready to help anyone. Look at verse number 21 again of Philippians chapter 2. For all seek their own. Boy, ain't that the truth today? They're in it for number one, ain't they? Old number one. Everybody's, what's in it for me, preacher? Preacher, what's in it for me? Well, boy, I've got to look out for old number one, preacher. I've got to make sure that I'm taken care of. Preacher, I've got to make sure that all my needs are met before I help other people. Hey, can I tell you this morning, listen. Until you start looking upon the needs of others, you've not really experienced what Christianity is all about. Selfish. People are selfish today. Ready to help anyone. Look at it. He said in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Hey, notice they seek for their own. They're looking for their own way. They're wanting to do their own thing. Hey, today it's about me, myself, and I. This whole society is eat up with nothing but selfish gain. Nothing but selfish gain. May it not be said of Bible Baptist Church that is a church that cares about the things that only pertain to them. Hey, I want our church to be known in the community as helping others. That's what it's all about. General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, that was his whole thing. When he died they were going to honor him, and he got sick. He was over in England, and he got sick, and he could not make this special thing that they had for him. So the next in command of the Salvation Army got up in front of thousands of people in honor of General Booth, and he said, we've got a letter tonight to read to everybody in the absence of General Booth. He's at least gave us a letter to read. And he got up to read this letter, and they opened the letter right there at the platform. And all the letter said was, others, General Booth. Others. One word. Others. You know what made that man great? Not his fame, not his prestige, not his eloquent speaking, not any of those things made him a great man. The thing that made General Booth a great man was he cared about others. Others. Not himself. There's too much of this self-help. There's too much of this, oh, I believe that person just has low self-esteem. I'll tell you, I don't know too many people walking around with low self-esteem anymore. I know a lot of people walking around today that has a bunch of, they think a little bit too highly of themselves. There's a whole lot of that. I mean, listen, if we had people that testify this morning, hey, you know a lot of people in your workplace, you know a lot of people in your family, hey, you know a lot of people even in the church, I hate to say it, but there's people walking around that think too highly of themselves when we need to be humbled as Jesus was in verse number 8. He said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The most humble man to ever walk on the face of the earth was Jesus. And I believe right after that probably was the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I know what I am. I am what I am, is what Paul said. You know what? These two men right here, Timothy and Epaphroditus, they did not care about themselves. They cared about the needs of others. I was preaching in Michigan a few years ago. I was at a big meeting, big preacher's meeting. There was hundreds of people there. And they were feeding us a really nice dinner. They had a fellowship hall. We were sitting in there, and a lot going on. I was one of the speakers there, and so they had a speaker's table. I hate when they do that. They had a speaker's table, and they gave you a little extra, they were just making sure you were taken care of because you're one of the speakers. I was watching, and, you know, it makes you uncomfortable in a way. I wish churches wouldn't do that, but some of them don't think about it, you know. I like sitting among the people. I like talking to people. They had you up there with your little name on the thing, and I'm like, man, this is so uncomfortable. That's not, I'm just old redneck from Knoxville, North Carolina, you know, is what I'm thinking. And if they knew what I am, they'd take that name off, amen. And I was watching, though, the host pastor. Boy, he was such a gracious man. I watched him as he, big church, older gentleman. I watched him, and I was fascinated by his servant attitude. As all those people were in there, he could have been taking the, boy, it was a wonderful meeting. He could have been walking around just taking all the credit and making sure he was in the limelight, had a place for himself, and he could have done all that. But he didn't sit at the speaker's table. You know what he did? He grabbed two pitchers, one of tea and one of water, and the pastor of this big old church was going around pouring people's drink and throwing away their trash. And then at the end of it, I seen him stacking chairs and putting tables away and working and doing all these things. And this man, again, people, I seen some of his people going to him and saying, "Preacher, you don't have to do this. Preacher, I'll do that for you." "No, I want to do this. I want to serve. I want to serve." He wasn't doing it for recognition. He wasn't doing it so people could see him. He was caring about the needs of others. Where is that attitude today in the world? Where's that attitude today in our church? It's about me, myself, and I. Hey, you know, I was joking about the seats in our auditorium, but folks, we don't have too many spare seats to give away. But if somebody sits in your seat on a Sunday, you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God instead. Hey, I've known churches that almost had a split over people sitting on their row. And I'm serious. We laugh about it. But I'm serious that, you know, I've been sitting here for 48 years. You know that I helped pay for that seat. Folks, listen. If we're going to have a servant attitude, you ought to be willing to set up and maybe sit in the back or go to the go over here if we ever have an overflow one day. And we have, you say, "Preacher, I'll be the first to give my seat up. I'll be the first to give my parking spot up. I'll be the first to park out in the grass. I'll be the first to park across the road if we have to." But preacher, I want people to hear the gospel. It's not about me. It's about others. That's Epaphroditus. That's Timothy. They cared about others instead of themselves. Hey, number two, they were ready to help anyone, not just themselves, but others. And then number three, hey, look at verse number 21 again. It says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." So, folks, here it is. You can live for yourself, which is a very selfish, empty life. Or you can live for others, and when you live for others, guess what you're doing? You're really living for Jesus. You're living for Jesus. You know why I love the bus ministry? I love the bus ministry because there is no pride in the bus ministry. I mean, first of all, to be here and ride on one of them buses in the morning, to go out and pick up kids, you can't have a whole lot of pride. You're talking about a humbling ministry. You have one throw up on you. And I'm not trying to be wipe their nose on you, spill their drink on you, come up to give you a hug and they've been eating Cheetos. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I love Cheetos. Can I get a witness on Cheetos? Amen. That stuff's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you right now. Cheeseburger with pimento cheese on it and a Cheeto. And by the way, there ain't going to be no such thing as gluten-free in heaven. Amen? Praise God. We're all going to be cured of that. That cellulite. What is it called? Not cellulitis. Celiac disease. Man, as they say, I just totally butchered that. Amen? There ain't going to be no diseases in heaven. Amen? I believe we're going to have an appetite 24/7. We're just going to constantly eat like a cruise. Y'all know? I can picture heaven. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I can picture heaven right now. You know, it's kind of like one of them buffets where you go up and the ice cream, you get to pull down on the lever and ice cream keeps continuous ice cream. And a chocolate fountain, it's just, you're not going to gain a pound. Praise God. Preach on heaven a little while. Lord have mercy. All that stuff for us. Can I just say this though? Listen, we get to serve the Lord. Hey, can you just think about this for a minute? All the things that God has in store for us if we just serve Him. Hey, the bus ministry, you get out there with these kids and you see all kinds of home lives and you see all kinds of, boy, when they come here, they're rough around the edges. Hey, I was talking to a few of them today, and they came in the back door, and my heart breaks at even what they say. Hey, but you know what we ought to do? We ought to come out of ourselves and love those children. Because if we don't, who is? The only hope they've got is a church that loves them and cares about them. Hey, if you want to get in a ministry that loves and that you get to step outside of your own comfort zone and your own self-desires, won't you step into a ministry that serves others? Serves others. Now, I realize not everybody can be in the bus ministry, but you can support it. You can pray for it. Hey, we need to buy another bus. You can fund it. We're going to need one. We need one right now. We just need a driver. We got a couple on the back burner studying for the license right now. You say, why would we get another bus, preacher? Because we need to get more others here. We need to bring more others to our place so we can love on them and help change their lives. Hey, you say, preacher, why? Because God said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. We need to go out and get them. Go out and get them. I don't care if they slept in a cardboard box the night before or if it's been 3 weeks since they had a bath. Christ loved them and died for them. I don't care if they came from the mansion. We need to reach them all to the glory of God. I believe if Timothy was alive today and Epaphroditus was alive today, they'd both be in the bus ministry or in a ministry that cared about others. Number three, and lastly, not only were they ready to go anywhere, not only were they ready to help anyone, but number three, they were ready to sacrifice anything. They were ready to sacrifice anything. You know what Paul said? Look at verse 22 and I'm done. He says, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he hath served with me. Notice that. He has served with me in the gospel. You know, I can't think. Brother Jacob, you can come to the piano. I'm just about done. We're going to baptize here in just a minute. Ladies, you don't have to put your shoes on just yet. Keep your Bible open. Amen. I know Baptists, they kick their shoes off and they start putting it on when the preacher starts winding down. Listen. I'll say this. As a preacher of the gospel, as a, you know, all these things that we get to, you know, the preacher, listen, I thank God for the opportunities that God has given me. I thank God that He called me by His grace. But at the end of the day, every one of us, no matter how much money you make, no matter what your last name is, we're all just a bunch of old rotten sinners saved by grace. That's it. There's not one of us better than the other. I mean, there's nobody sitting in this building this morning that is better than anyone else, including the preacher. No, I mean, I'm telling you, the things you struggle with a lot of times are the things I struggle with. I mean, I put my britches on the same way you put yours on. I have headaches just like you have headaches. I think bad things just like you think bad things sometimes. I lose my temper just like you lose your temper sometimes. I got frustrated this morning. I'm not going to tell you why. I walked in here and was frustrated. I was mad. I got a bit nails in two. But you know what? The Lord beat me up right before and He said, you know what? That ain't the right spirit. I had to literally get on my knees in my office and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't lose my temper to somebody. I was by myself. But I was mad. If they knew how mad I was at, I was mad. I have these expectations. Bless God, somebody ought to care about this place as much as I do. I was thinking all these things and I thought, whoa! Then the Lord just reminded me, that ain't of God. I had to get back here in the office before anybody got here. And I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've got to preach this morning. How in the world can I preach and try to help people when I've got an old stinking rotten attitude? Folks, do you understand that we sacrifice, we're ready to sacrifice anything? Do you realize that everything that I've got, my children, my wife, everything that I've got belongs to the Lord. everything that I've got. That's why when we have this baby dedication coming up in about a month and a half, and we're going to dedicate some brand new babies to God, there's nothing, don't get worried, don't let that, that ain't Catholicism. We're dedicating them because it's biblical, amen? They're not getting saved, and we're not sprinkling them, amen? The only time anybody gets sprinkled in here is when I spit on you, went up the second row, amen? The only sprinkling that goes on, amen? We obviously believe in baptism, amen? But you know, we have that baby dedication here in a few weeks. We dedicate those babies to God. You know what we're doing? We're saying, God, we're just giving you what belongs to you. Them kids are not yours. Now, they belong to you on this earth. They've got your last name. They've got your blood flowing through their veins. Hey, but who gave them to you? God. Hey, you ought to say, you know what? As long as those babies have breath in their lungs, as long as we're physically able to get to the house of God, as long as we've got money to give and we've got time to give and we've got ability to give, we're going to give it all to the Lord Jesus Christ because it belongs to Him. I'm going to give it to Him. It's not my life, Lord. It's not my marriage, God. Our marriage, my wife and I, again, some of you have marital issues. You come in here and you fight and you squabble and you're constantly at each other's throat. Hey, can I say what would help your marriage this morning is if you dedicated your marriage to God? It ain't your marriage to have. It's His. When you start putting Christ in the center of everything, it changes your whole attitude. Folks, we've got to get the spirit of these two choice servants of God, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Hey, we've got to, if Paul was choosing today, would he choose us to go? Hey, would we be willing to go? Hey, let me tell you right now, folks, we have got to surrender, have the right attitude, to serve God, serve people, serve others, serve your wife, husbands. Serve your wife. You didn't get married so she can serve you all the time. This thing goes both ways. That's good preaching, isn't it, ladies? We always talk about how women should be submissive, but you know what? Men ought to submit themselves to their wives, meet their needs. You say, why? Because it's Christ-like. It's Christ-like. I know some men today that'd like to have their wife back so they could do it. One day that arguing and one day that fighting and that bickering and all that stuff, one day when they're no longer here, you'll regret those things. Hey, I know people are going to argue. I know they're going to fight. I know they're going to have bad days. But can I tell you this morning, hey, if you put Jesus in the center of everything, it's going to make a lot of things better. Be willing to go anywhere. Be willing to help anyone. And be willing to...